pushed up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holes barred, no time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the tribe can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we will help you get your Z's, true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short duck and handsome, bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I...
We are back with another edition of The Scenario. My brother Matt, we are on YouTube now, man.
We're on YouTube.
First video. We have 3 views right now.
Yeah, we're in
I think it might be me going back to make sure everything looked good on the page.
So what?
I think all 3 views may be me. I was thinking about it. I was like,
oh, okay.
Because
yeah,
I'm going to make sure how I look at everything on the page. So I don't know how the algorithms, because I know before YouTube used to only give you a hit per IP address.
Yeah,
But that changed, though.
I haven't looked, so it's not me.
Yeah, because they changed. I know that changed.
I haven't looked yet. It's not me, but I mean, hey, it's out there. What's up there? We got our
Scenario SOLC. It's all on there. It's the same page. You can put all both of them in. It'll pop up. Subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe. One video. Subscribe. There'll be other stuff.
Yeah, we'll have more stuff coming on the pipeline. But
there's a lot more video coming. There's going to be a lot more consistent stuff coming. There's going to be new things coming.
Over to our Facebook page, we have it on there too. On the Stroud Lowcast fan page.
No. Go to the YouTube page.
YouTube page, yeah.
Go to the YouTube page. Go to the YouTube page.
Yeah, and just subscribe on there.
Forget anything that we talked about otherwise. Subscribe to YouTube. Get that popping. Get that going.
But subscribe to Spotify.
Well, yeah, we'll tell you about that after the show. But right now, go to YouTube and subscribe to YouTube and get that done.
It's
the whole episode of the episode we dropped last week from our appearance at the Send Up on Shaw. Once again, shout out to St. Louis Live. Yeah, shout out to Chris and Travis for putting that together. Dope thing. And it's our whole set from there. So you can get there. It's a little bit over an hour. It's a good time. You can check it out. You know, give us some thoughts. Let us know what you like. Yeah. Let us know what you didn't like.
My uncle did text me. He watched it on Facebook because it popped up. He said, I'm proud of you, son. You and your partner have a lot of good chemistry. It was funny seeing you all do it live.
Well, look at that. I'm eating
sushi.
It's like
sushi. My damn uncle's like my uncle's.
I'm going to be eating, like my dad, I'm gonna so be eating dinner
that
for the first.
That made me feel good, though, and everything when he texted me. Because he's like, he was the first one. And I could tell he watched the whole thing. Because it like he didn't text me immediately like when I put it up. It was like an hour later. So he watched the whole video. So shout out to him. Shout out to my uncle.
Everybody take time. Be like his uncle.
Shout out to my uncle, man.
I'm going to be eating this tuna roll for the first 10-15 minutes of this show because I'm real hungry.
And you're on a diet too now. So
I am.
You're on a diet.
Yeah. I watched the video and saw something else. No, I'm joking. I look great.
It was, and looking at the video, I reminded how hot it was, though, man.
It was real hot.
Like, them lights was coming down, and we were drinking a little bit, too, and it was like, I was like, man.
Yeah, we were sweating real hard in there. Like, it was like that game started in the third quarter.
And we had been out there putting up 30 shots.
Playing against Jordan.
Yeah, and losing, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
So, man, let's go on. Let me tell a story, man, about this Anita Baker concert and me losing my phone and tracking it down with the police to a warehouse. So, I went to Chicago this weekend, caught up a lot of my boys from college, went to Celeste, shot the BG came out.
Yeah.
BG, look, BG came in like Batman and shit because I texted you and said, hey, man, let BG, I know I'm going to Celeste tonight. We kicking it. We got a table. My brother is assistant general manager of like the hottest spot in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
3-4 floors, man. You haven't been to Celeste yet?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, you've been? Okay.
I've been 5-6 times.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. Honestly, I was talking to him. I was like, dude, how y'all ain't been shut down yet? Just because, you know, places like that, they've been open 3 or 4 years. You don't have that kind of crowd for 3 or 4 years in any city consistently.
Well, the thing about that one is, though, it's such a different experience. And it's a legitimately good restaurant. And if you've got a restaurant, you can live.
Yeah. But I was talking about, like, nightlife-wise.
Well, I mean...
People get tired of it, you know, just the nightlife scene just changes.
I don't know, man. Because you can do so much in one night in that place.
Because you can go to 4 different floors, don't get 4 different experiences there.
Right.
You can be like, I'm going wild out, I'm going to that top floor, and it's going to be, you know, your fist pumping.
Walk people through the breakout of the place.
So, you come in, the main floor, like, literally we walk up, so it's like me, a couple of my boys from college... my homegirl Shannon, shout out to my homegirl Shannon and her boyfriend, my wife, we all go in. So it's maybe like 10 of us. So we waiting for my one boy's and then to come. And my wife is like, yo, you gonna get out? Like, dude, my brother on the spot. We good. So we had been before over Thanksgiving, but we had never been the nightlife time. We had been there for dinner. So she ain't seen it cranking like it was. So it's a line going out both sides down the street. And it's literally like the cosmopolitan feel of everything. So, and I'm looking the most niggerish at everybody there, though. So I'm very, very confident and bold that I'm going to get in this piece. I have on a nice polo, jeans, but also I have on polo shoes. Everybody else got on slacks, jeans, and nice shoes, the whole demo. I'm very, and I have on a St. Louis fitted. Mm-hmm. I'm very confident I'm getting here.
You're extremely negative.
And even the people that are with me are dressed up because they're from Chicago. And I told them where we were going, they dressed up. I'm the only one that's like, my brother is the assistant general manager here. Ain't no goddamn way I'm not getting up in here.
And you're married, so you're not trying to.
No, exactly. I'm here kicking and trying to drink for free.
Yeah.
So we get in. Well, my wife and I went in first, so they had to go to the bathroom because we wait for my other boys to get there. So they get there. My one boy's like, yo, we getting in. So we walk in. Shout out to my boy Jeff. You remember my boy Jeff that was in my wedding. He won a state rep in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Fucks up his whole night. He walks in. Oh my God, you're my state rep. We are just getting up the steps. He was like, God damn. So he already is like on watch mode now. Like, God damn. Like, I ain't got sworn in yet. How the fuck you know who I am? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you're my state rep. I voted for you. Like,
people do their homework.
No, he said he felt dope. But at the same time, he's like, Dan, I can't get really loose right now. You know, and he's like, he said it was also a wake-up call because if he wouldn't have said nothing, he might have got loose and did some crazy shit maybe or been acting a fool. So it just put him on watch.
So here's the thing about Celesto. It's four different floors in one place. So when you walk in on the first floor, it's a restaurant, like a restaurant bar. No, I'm sorry. The first floor is a bar that has like some seating and stuff around it.
And they got a
little
DJ in there and kind of chilling.
Yeah, and the second floor is a restaurant. Like it's a legitimate chill restaurant where you can sit down. And, you know, it's still got a bar. It's kind of similar to the first floor. But, you know, you get in there, you can kind of chill out and do what you want to do. The third floor is a disco floor, though. So, like, the whole floor is a disco bar. Mm-hmm. And people are turning up in that thing all night. It's crazy. It's like
the fourth floor.
It's like, and then the fourth floor is a rooftop.
But that gets crazy too. Yeah. That's more like if you had like a the fourth floor would be a contemporary floor. The third floor would be your old dance house floor that you would go kind of your studio. You know, 61, studio 40, whatever the fuck
studio
it was.
Studio 54.
54 kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
So we in there, man, kicking it, man. It's all good, man. My brother's getting a tour. We got free drinks, free food. My brother's laying out the red carpet. Cats is just like, yo, this is crazy. So, like, my boy that's at state rep, he's like, yo, I want to do my fucking winning thing at Joe's spot. So, they finna get more money off of that because he's like, yo, I'm going to put my campaign money here for a thing on, like, an off night to, like, you know, celebrate me winning, all that shit. So, I'm like, yo, bro, you actually advertised and made some money. He's like, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm the assistant general manager. This is how we supposed to do it. So BG comes in out of nowhere like, yo, what's up? So then we start drinking and taking shots with BG. Mm-hmm. And then BG's there with some other people though. So I don't know where he went with them though. He was with us for like an hour. But he was with other people he came in with. But all of a sudden he was with us. And then I end up leaving early. I get text messages. My boys are hanging with BG now. They didn't leave till 5 in the morning. I left at 2:33.
Yeah, he doesn't leave before 4.
No. He doesn't. BG don't leave before 4.
Yeah, he doesn't go out and then go home before 4.
It's not surprising to you that.
No, there's that, no, he's not that type of cat. He's going to get everything out of the whole night.
He's going to maximize it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a superstar.
Yeah, no. I totally see why he is the superstar. Yeah. We got to get him and Adrian out at the same time, same place, and see if there's friction. Can two superstars maintain?
No, they were cool when they were at the house party.
Oh, no. But we got to put them in the full.
In like an environment?
Oh, we got to put them in the, like a Celeste.
I think they'd be fine. They operate in different ways.
Yeah, they ain't move differently though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'd be fine. They kind of target the same things though.
The topic we got to talk about, and you can put it down, the Charles Oakley interview. That is.
Oh, yeah.
That is our main topic.
No. No.
How can it not be? That is so many. I got a list of stuff on there of who everybody he didn't like.
No. I completely get it. It's still the heart of this thing has to be saving people from themselves this summer. Still, we still have to serve the community. Because I mean, that's what this podcast is for.
It's saving this community with scenarios. Yeah. So let me get to the Nita Baker thing. So I go out. So I took my daughter with me, too. So my daughter is my aunt.
She's at the club?
No.
Oh, I was like, whoa, turn up.
No. I ain't that gangster.
You ain't that old, either.
Yeah. So she's at with my aunt and them and everything in their home. So the Nita Baker concert is on Sunday. So I was like, yo, I'm going to take her out to the Dave and Buster's or whatever. So go out to Dave and Buster's, we kicking it and everything. I lose my phone at Dave and Buster's, right?
You had a bad weekend with phones.
Oh, man. I get it back.
Okay.
All right. So then I'm at the Nita Baker concert. So we go back. It's me, my aunt, and her husband, Pat. Shout out to Pat, man, because he ended up being like my Sherlock Holmes, and you guys will see why in a second. So fast forward in the story. So I lose my phone at the concert. It's out there. So I'm trying to find it. So you know how you can track your phone. So my phone is, I'm seeing it move to different places. Okay. Like literally making moves. Like it's moving around. So it comes back. It's close to the area where the concert was, where my aunt lives at, which is up north suburbs.
Okay.
So we get up the next morning. I'm like, yo, man, I'm going to go get it now. I'm going to jump in the car. Shout out to my uncle Peggy. He's my uncle now. They've been married for a couple of years. He like, yo, let's jump in the range. We ain't nobody going to send it to a black man in the range. But, so we ride out. We track the phone to a business.
So hold up. Is your uncle AC Collins?
No, because he's got the money. I know. So
okay.
I don't know who that would be in this situation. Because normally it would be the opposite way in a general situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, no, I got you. I don't even know who that would be. That's a good question.
Yeah.
So we ride. We track the phone to a warehouse and a business. So I'm like, yo, the phone is here somewhere. So he like, hey, man, because you know you can put the little alarm thing off on your phone.
Right.
Or whatever. So he was like, man, it might be in a car or whatever, because it looked like it was in the parking lot on the tracker. So he was like, nah, he stopped me before I got out. He's like, nah, we two black men out here going to the business. Let them know that, hey, I lost my phone. I tracked it here. Show them everything. Let them know, hey, I just want to see what's going on or whatever. Woo, 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 period. So I get there, we do that. So it's a white business, but it's like a warehouse part. So I know that's where they at.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's still there. But I see no black people.
Okay.
I see Mexicans and I see white people.
That sounds like Chicago.
But my phone was at the Nita Baker concert.
So you should have been able to see who took your phone.
Obviously, I should have been able to see that. So then I'm like, but it was a lot of white people at the Nita Baker concert. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. So we're tracking it. So they were like, well, this is called a police. So Mayberry PD comes out because they live in a fucking nice suburb in north suburbs. They ain't got shit to do or whatever. And I was like, man, the police gonna come out. He's like, they ain't got shit to do. They gonna be here in like 5 minutes. By the time I said that, they were behind our car. Like, hey, does somebody need some help? I mean, by the time I said to him, like, is anybody gonna really help us? They were behind us.
And the police was up in that thing like that?
Yeah, we were out there, like, we were up in the building, everything, looking for this phone.
Did they know that black people needed help?
The white people called. We didn't call.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because they were like, you want us to call? Like, yeah. Because they were like, can we call the police? Because we, like, we don't want you to search around people's cars. Like, that's fine. Can you call the police then? They called them. They was a lickety split.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short, we walking all around the cars. I'm doing a police report, all that. It's tracking them where they're going. I'm like, yo, the phone is right here, man. Somewhere. With one of your people. So they were like, it's nothing we can do for real. I'm like, cool, whatever. So took the police report. I got me another phone. Whatever. But I'm looking at all the white people that in my mind that I saw at the Nita Baker concert. Because I ain't seen any Hispanic people at the Nita Baker concert. But I saw a lot of white people, though. At least 20% of those people were white people at the Nita Baker concert.
You still got the tracker on the phone?
No, I erased everything. I hit the buzzer and erased, you know, just zonked out that whole bitch.
It should blow the phone up, like Mission Impossible.
I wish it would be do that shit. That's what my stump uncle was saying, man. Yeah. Pat was saying. Because he's like, yo. Because, no, he said that it won't give you exact placement. He said it because he's an engineer in community. He's like, because niggas that had went up in some people's shit, though, and fucked people up. Like, they had some incidents early where people was like, oh, it's at 1077 Main Street. Oh, we finna walk up in this bitch and get this iPhone back.
You should be able to hit a button and it calls the police automatically to the phone.
The only problem with it is that people can set you up, though, with that. I leave my phone at your crib, and I throw the buzzer off on you, though, and get you caught up.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, what's the point in tracking it if you're not going to be able to get it back?
Right, but I could just do that to you and set you up.
No, I get what you're saying, but I don't get the point in the tracker if I can't get my phone back.
Yeah.
Like, if the police are going to come, be like, if we can't do anything, I'm going to be like, well, shit, I'm going to wait and watch where my phone go. Eventually, it's going to go to a residence.
It did go to a residence, but it gives you only, like, a circumference of an area. It only gives you up to, like, 40 feet.
You got to jailbreak that joint. There's somebody that can get that phone broke down to where it goes, probably. Exactly where it goes.
Of course they could. And I'm sure somebody probably jailbroke the phone by now.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about somebody. You need somebody to rig it for you.
Oh, the back end.
Like, your phone right now, right there, you need to, like, make it to be a thing where...
But the thing is, though, crazy, I was reading an article about how now motherfuckers will shut your phone down. If that serial number pops back on the network, they sent me an article about a woman that bought a new iPhone. And I don't have an iPhone, I have an Android, but still. And she bought it off of eBay or something. And she had it for about 2 months. And then Apple shut the bitch down because they said it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That it was shut off and it was reported stolen.
All right, man. Well, we got emails today?
Yeah, man. We got some emails from the show with the lovely Carla, man. Like, people really, really was feeling that, man. People didn't like to see us live doing shit, man. But that's another thing.
That's right. They're going to see it now.
Yeah, they can see it. So they could probably have way more to say. All right. First email comes from QP. He or she says, I don't know what QP means. Hey, you all, the last show with the writer, Carla, was very, very insightful and great to hear you all chop it up and banter with someone talking about the industry when it comes to music. As a person trying to get in the industry myself, it was breathtaking listening to someone that is trying to grind and doing something on the back end and deciding how she wants to do it. My question is, do you all think that the music industry is not available for people that have real musical talent and real people that believe in what their art form is? Or do you think that they're all subjugated to being in the background now? Love the show as always, fellas. Peace. Shout out to you, QP.
No, man. I think talent shines through. I don't know. I mean, the breaks find people in different ways. And that doesn't mean that everybody that gets a break in anything is particularly amazing at it.
Snow Informer was the number one song at one point.
Yeah, but that's marketing, though.
Right, but I'm saying that, like, I'm sure there were musicians at that time seeing Snow perform Informer. That were reggae artists, like, god damn, reggae artists have been trying to break into the U.S. for years, and fucking Informer was the fucking first reggae song to break in pop-wise, big.
Oh, yeah, I get it. That's definitely that's definitely frustrating. I think true talent shines through still. I mean, there's plenty of talented performers out there. I don't think that they're all background singers. I mean, it's just is about, you know, just breaks find people, and sounds change, you know what I mean? And sounds go in circles. So, I mean, no, I think, because I'm not going to have strip talent away from people, because getting over is a talent in and of itself. You know what I'm saying?
Just better get past certain shit.
Yeah, I mean, being able to get a big break is a talent in some regards, because that takes a certain level of grind that some people just pour into talent and don't pour into, you know, this is what it takes to make my talent shine through.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a little mix of
it will, man. Like, talent always gonna come through, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just be good. Just, like, keep on doing what you
don't
do.
Don't be mad about somebody that's got one hit. Like, that's not popping. Nobody gives it. What happened to the dude? It's a whole bunch of songs we can name of people that are fucking not here no more. And we got artists now that we know that's not going to be here no more. If you stay good with your craft, and you may not be the one selling out MetLife Stadium in New York.
Right.
But you may be able to sell out a nice 400, 500, 600-seater joint the rest of your life, though.
Right.
You can think about people that can constantly tour and go get that bread and get that bag.
Yeah, I mean it takes a hustle, but I mean, you know, it gets over. It gets there eventually.
All right, next up, this one's from Lavina. She says, "Love the show. The last few episodes you have been talking about Keith Sweat. I love Keith Sweat. I want to give a shout out to Daryl and B-Dub, as you all call him, for giving the respect and love to him. But this is one of my questions when we're coming off of Keith Sweat, and maybe a little bit of a tangent, but do you all watch the TV show Unsung? Is there any artist that you all think should be getting unsung, and why hasn't Keith Sweat had it unsung?
I don't watch the show. I know of it. I don't watch it regularly, but I mean, I do think it's a dope concept and what it's put out there and what it talks about. I mean, it tells some of the kind of the stories that you want to hear, you know what I'm saying, and let you learn more about it. Kind of reminds me of that old VH1 show,
Behind the Music.
Behind the Music, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it's just focused on black music, so I think that's pretty dope. I mean, but I out of habit, I don't watch a ton of TV programs.
I've seen every episode of one song.
So this is for you.
There's a lot of people that have declined because they feel like they're too good for it, or they feel like their career is not over. Like Stephanie Mills declined on something and said that my career is not over. Now, keep in mind, shout out to Stephanie Mills, love her to death, but
your career is over.
It's been over. But my thing is that also these artists that have been unsung have been getting paid afterwards and jumping back on tour and doing different things. They're like, oh snap, Zap, the group, is making money without Roger right now because of fucking Unsung.
Mm-hmm.
Confunction got back together because of Unsung. Like, there's groups that have got back together, especially the classic groups, have got back together. 702 has got the Unsung coming up this week. Yeah, they just performed for the first time in, like, I think, shit, 15 years.
They'll be performing at Essence Fest next year now.
Are they?
No, I'm just saying. They probably will be. Unsung coming out.
Look, man, look. I have a thing for 702. Look, no, man, please. Like, look, I'll be locked in on it. I watch every episode. I watch episodes of people I don't even care about just because I'm like, fuck it. I love music, man. I want to know. Like some people that I think they need an unsung, Tevin Campbell is probably a great potential one. And I'm going more at artists that within our range. I don't want to go to like One Way, some old group my parents was listening to back in the day. I can't.
One Way,
you know, One Way, Cutie Pie and shit. And they had some other songs too, but you know, those like Tevin Campbell, a Jade, Brownstone. There's some good ones, man. I know people like. There's some good ones they've had though. Like Digital Plants was a good one, man. You need to watch that one. That was maybe I think one of the best ones. Special L was good too. And it makes you realize, man, how shout out to Teddy, man. He always said this to me, man, that you are forgettable as a person.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, legacy wise, I don't care if you Alexander Graham Bell, you can invented this, you Albert Einstein, motherfuckers will forget you.
Yeah. Like, ask how many people know who Alexander Fleming is. He was like, what did he do? What? Well, he invented penicillin.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
But the whole point of what he was saying, I think, the idea of people like, man, I want to make sure my legacy is solidified. The idea of legacy is very fleeting.
Legacy is based on perspective, too. I mean,
but it's fleeting, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have a...
People forget about Will Chamberlain. His legacy is fucking nothing.
Legend in two games.
But I'm saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about Bill Russell, Bob Cousy. I mean,
it happens. You can name anybody in your field, and it happens.
And you had the only person, I think Babe Ruth, because he has a fucking candy bar and different things, and he's iconic in baseball.
So there's legends, and then there's icons. Icons last.
Yeah, but how many icons do we have? You probably can name, it's probably what, 50?
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean, though. Like, icons last, and that's why everybody knows who they are.
Do you think that there's a potential for icons in our present day?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Or because we have so much of a quick intake of our media.
No, the answer stands. Okay. There's always a chance for icons.
I agree with you.
Because icons get made by different generations, and who's an icon for one generation usually carries over to another one.
I mean, shit, we're dealing with LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James is an icon.
And Michael Jordan is fucking...
is an icon.
Is fucking Jesus right now to some people at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's an icon. You know, I mean, and that's what the debate is. It happens in a lot of cases about, you know, icons only get debated against icons. That's it. There is no bringing somebody else into a debate with an icon because they're going to outdo him.
Since we're talking about LeBron James and Michael Jordan, let's go ahead and transition.
I'm just glad the NBA Finals are over. And I can't, yeah, I'm done with it. I was done with the Finals before they even started because the petty Annie, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless is of Facebook. I've never seen more pointless arguing about something that don't matter than
it's
LeBron James,
hate.
The Warriors, and Michael
Jordan. It's a lot of hate, though. You have two different schools of thought. You have the Kobe lovers who hate LeBron because he passed him.
Yes.
Is the best player. So I think
who also don't like Jordan because Kobe never became him, and in their minds he was gonna be him.
All right. And then you also have the split months Bulls fans like myself and yourself who just want Jordan to be everything and don't want to give any props to anybody outside of Jordan or two. Most of people are centered around people being from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized that the Bulls fans that are not from Chicago have a little bit more perspective mm-hmm. than those that have grew up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because they're like, Jordan is nothing.
They're not
else.
Even they're not hearing it.
No, they
either
don't want to
Jordan,
hear
it. Either it's Jordan or it's nobody.
But the Kobe fans are just hating, though. Like, I get the Jordan thing a little bit more because you got the stuff to back it up. You ain't got the stats to back it up with Kobe at this point.
No, Kobe's not in that conversation.
No.
Like, there's people that are like, Kobe's second best player of all time. I'm like, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
He's not even the best Laker.
No.
He's not even the best Laker of all time.
He's the third best Laker
of all time. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's just keep that straight.
Magic and Kareem.
Yes.
And if arguably you could put damn near Shaq above him.
I don't consider Shaq to be a Laker, though. Shaq's a basketball player. When I talk about,
because he played for so many fucking.
Yeah,
games.
I mean, he was dope everywhere he went. I mean, except for those last few years. I mean,
with the big cats.
I mean, he was. In my mind, I picture Orlando Shaq as much as I picture LA Shaq. But then Magic, and then because that was the sensational Shaq. Shaq was at his best in LA, but I mean, he was. You never seen anything like Shaq in Orlando. And then when he was in Miami, he was still the best player in the league for 2 years. Like, so, I mean...
He got Dwayne Wade's ring.
Yeah.
Nobody want to talk about that.
Well, though. I mean, no. Somebody always helps somebody else get their ring. Even the best player had somebody to help him get his ring. You know, Steve Kerschop was 21 years ago today. You know what I'm saying?
John Paxson.
Jordan gets his ring because of that.
But, John Paxson, too?
Well, yeah, but it didn't happen today while we're recording the show. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you can go down every list of the history of people winning. Somebody else helped somebody else win. But the thing about it is that then you get to LeBron James fans. And since I've seen it once before, now it doesn't surprise me as much. And here's the difference. I think that LeBron has actually done the things that got him to the caliber for the type of conversations that Kobe Bryant never got to.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to have that conversation, but LeBron actually is there. So him talking about what he's done, at least in approaching Jordan, holds more water than it ever held with Kobe. Ever, at any point. And so you have people that are quick to be like, rings. Hey, like, well, neither Mike nor Kobe went to the finals 8 years in a row. And I think that...
And Kobe wasn't even the best player on some of his squads.
And I think that for some people, that... For LeBron James, it's not forgivable for him to win. But for some people, just to get to the finals, it's an accomplishment. Like, Allen Iverson got to the finals. You never hear anybody say Allen Iverson should have done more.
Jason Kidd has been to the finals three times.
And he won, though. But Jason Kidd's not a lead dog like that.
Well, he's been three times, but he lost twice.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's not a lead dog. I'm talking about a dude that's the lead dog getting there and being the dude that is on his shoulders. You know what I'm saying? Like, for some people, it's excusable to get to the finals. Patrick Ewing got to the finals. Yeah, you want him to win, but he didn't do it. Charles Barkley got to the finals. You know what I mean? Karl Malone got to the finals. So it's like, yeah, they came close, but they didn't. Well, LeBron's actually got to the brink of winning more often than almost anybody ever and actually has won.
With less talent.
So, but yeah, I'm not going...
But that's his fault, though, too.
I'm not going down to semantics right now. I'm just talking about the situation. Talking about the situation. I'm not here to break it down again because I'm legitimately burnt out on it. But
and split black people, like you said.
Yeah, but that's what I want to get to. Is that I sat there and watched it just tear down. I mean, it was people going for people, like people talking about each other's mamas. I'm like, this man don't even fucking know you.
They went in your Facebook profile, I'm like, that's where your mama got a wig on back in Easter in 07.
And at the beginning.
Like, goddamn, 07?
And it's
you affect this profile.
It's 57 goddamn comments.
This mama had cancer in 06.
And somewhere between comment 23 and 26, it stopped being about basketball and started being about somebody's mama.
That's real.
And it's like, hold up. But my thing about it is people are just debating an emotion and not refusing to give props at all. That I can't do. I can't do when you just outright hating and just being like, I don't like him, so I'm gonna dog him. Like, hey man, there's players I'm not big on or I don't like, but I'm not gonna just drag them. Like, you're still talking about, like, the way these people talk about it, you would think LeBron James barely needed to be in the NBA.
Yeah, dude, they act like he's just trash.
And then on the other side of the coin, you got all these people that are like, the Warriors ruined the NBA. I'm like, wait a minute. So hold up. Let me get this straight. Kevin Durant decided to take his own fate into his hands, had the opportunity to do so and did it. But only in sports do people have this honor code about how you go about your business. You can't do that. They beat you. Man, I tell you what, if it's a company selling more of my product than mine, and they say they want
like,
me.
You the best salesman at the other company, and they're like, you want to come sell Procter & Gamble?
Yep. I'm out. Because I was never going to be able to overcome this company as is.
Because they're full of shit, though, man, because they got mad at LeBron by how he did the decision and stuff, though, which I get that. 100% understand that. But then, you know, KD didn't do none of that shit, and they said, I was going to sign with another team, though, and they get on KD for that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an irrational need for people to do things that don't make sense.
That's because people want people to own to certain teams, though. And it's kind of a messed up mentality that you are owned by a team, though. And the idea that I can go where the fuck I want to go, though, and I may not want the most money, though. Because like Kevin Durant don't need it. Actually, be getting so much paper on the other side. Why do I go sign for somewhere like an Allen Houston who wouldn't get no deals and then else? Yeah, Allen Houston signed a $180 million contract because he didn't have no endorsements.
Yeah, I mean, so like...
I didn't have nothing going on. He wasn't... Kevin Durant went out to see him. He had some business stuff in Silicon Valley. I want to go out there and get my money. Why can't he do that?
My question is, why is anybody even watching the NBA at this point if all we're going to do is complain about how it worked out? Why do you even watch it if you just mad
NBA,
about...
But NBA ratings are up.
If you mad about... If you hate LeBron James as
and
a person...
And you hate the Warriors.
And you hate the Warriors. Why are you watching past the conference finals then? Because you got a lot of people who want to sit around and feel validated by LeBron James' so-called failing. Let me let you in on a secret. That man didn't fail in the NBA finals. That man did not fail.
He dropped 51.
Yeah. He did not fail. Even in his team failing to win a game... He did not fail. You don't get to chalk it up and say, he's a bum. He's soft. He should do this. He should do that. How much more you want one dude to do? And then on the other side of the coin, you look at Kevin Durant. He's public enemy number one. But, you know, I hate the Warriors. They ruin basketball. Man, the Warriors have figured out how to play today's basketball better than anybody else. They can beat you every way possible. You can't get
one bruiser down low and four shooters.
I got a solution. Stop watching basketball. If you can't stomach the realities of the sport, if you're gonna say that somebody can't join another team or take their destiny in their own hand and work for somebody else that's gonna put them in a better place to accomplish their goal, and then when somebody does it, you're gonna hate them even more. Guess what? Today's NBA isn't for you. You shouldn't watch anymore.
That's right. And it actually even more. You know why people are more mad at Kevin Durant? Thought he was the, and remember when LeBron did the decision, he was the hero of not doing a decision, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That's why people got mad at Kevin Durant on the back end, because they were like, oh, and remember, all these people started being Kevin Durant fans all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
when he was on OKC,
mm-hmm.
and they felt betrayed that somebody would do the same thing that they despised. That's why.
Yeah.
They were like, oh man, LeBron was all bogus what he did, though. But we got Kevin Durant, though. He's the antithesis of it. He's staying in the small town market. He's staying there. He's building himself. And Kevin Durant was like, yo, I want to go to the Yay area.
This is just a...
I want to hang out with Mr. Thad and hang out with 40. And hang out with Andre Ward. That's who I want to hang out with.
This is a carryover of people that...
I don't like Russell Westbrook that much.
This is a carryover of people being in a misplaced generation of you growing up with your star staying on one team for the most part. And you got to scrap and you got to... you got to scrap and you got to earn titles. And if you don't win one, we'll just make fun of you for not winning the title. As opposed to people in 20 years would be like, whatever, go play where you want to play. Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's so funny that... you listen to the new Bill Simmons podcast talking about how the offseason is way more fun around the NBA because you don't know where the fuck people are going to go. Like back in the day, you know, you'd be like, oh, Elijah wasn't going to stay in Houston, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But now, but NFL, you know where people kind of locked in. And we talked about a little bit earlier how this kind of structure. Now you're like, shit, everybody is in play.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a trade. Everything is in play because everything's moving around.
Well, because the players are taking their own destiny into their hand. So, I mean, we can't sit here and say, hey, I'm going to support Colin Kaepernick for taking a stand and owning what he's going to own. But then when these guys decide to do it in the confines of basketball or what you just look at as a sport, first of all, this ain't a sport for them. It's their job. It's their destiny. It's them taking their own profession into their own hands. No different than you do. No different than I do. No different than any of us do. But, you know, we just look at this thing of, oh, he don't want to compete or he's soft or he afraid. I'm like... There ain't no fear in Kevin Durant. There ain't no fear in LeBron James. There ain't no fear in none of these guys. Maybe there's a little fear in J.R. Smith. But other than that.
He got that long-term contract with fucking Cleveland, too. That may be part of the reason that LeBron may end up leaving. But let's transition a little bit to this Charles Oakley interview, man. On the Bill Simmons show.
Mm-hmm.
Man. We need more Charles Oakleys in the league, though. And that's why I, even though I know people don't like Draymond, but he reminds you of the best thing you can get in the league of a Draymond, I mean, of a Charles Oakley is Draymond. Did you see the whole thing with Tristan Thompson with him? Oh, yeah. Tristan tried to shake his hand. He's like, man, I don't fuck with niggas like you.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, he's trying to shake your hand in the game. He's like, man, I don't fuck with no niggas like you. God damn. Like, dude, like.
I don't take stuff like that from people. Like, there's the difference.
Like, no, I might have to snuff them.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Like, because I'm going to take my 10-game suspension to start the next season.
Yeah, there would be a
rumble. I'm talking about Tristan, let me take my 10-game
suspension. Yeah, there would be a rumble and during the celebration.
I don't fuck with niggas like you, though, and don't even. And he didn't even slap your hand. He kept his hands to the side, though, kept moving. I don't fuck with no niggas like you, and looked at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like a bitch, though, like, oh, really?
He accepted it. Maybe he is. Maybe he is.
He's like, I don't fuck with no niggas like, God damn.
You let people talk to you like that, maybe he right. You don't talk to me like that. Nobody.
I ain't even a big nigga. I ain't gonna let that happen.
I ain't letting that happen. Even if
I don't fuck with no niggas like you. What you mean by that?
Draymond, 6'7", 6'8", something like that. He ain't big that much bigger than me to let him talk to me like that. It ain't happening. Like, you gotta be Shaq. Almost, or you Mike Tyson, and I know
how you get down.
I know what's coming. Like, other than that, I'm not accepting that type of slander.
No, man.
Not against the name that my father gave to me. I'm the first of my name.
And then it makes so much sense, though, that he wore the Kardashian and shit, and it just all rolls downhill. Like, cause the thing of Draymond knew he could say that to him. He ain't said it to LeBron. He ain't said that to Patterson's own J.R. Smith either. Regardless of what you want to say about him, you ain't going to say it to J.R. Smith either, though.
Yeah, I mean, J.R. Smith. They had the beef, and that's where it was at. But anyway, man, back to Oak. Here's the best thing about it. And I'm not going to break down the whole interview. It's worth listening to. It's on the Bill Simmons podcast. Go check it out. Charles Oakley. But Charles Oakley broke down Michael Jordan's crew. Like how Michael Jordan is the superstar of the crew, how Amar Rashad is the utility man, and how he's the enforcer, but he's kind of the wheel man. Yeah. No, Amar Rashad was the wheel man.
Yeah.
Amar Rashad is the wheel man, but Oakley somehow fused the enforcer and the utility man in that one role.
How you got to beat up people and you the one that facilitate, make sure everything is cool?
And Tiger Woods was the happy to be here cat. What kind of crew is this?
Look, and Charles Oakley has more rank than Tiger Woods. Even though he's coming with more money.
Oh, for sure. Money, that just shows you money.
Money means nothing. After everybody's got millions,
yeah,
it don't mean nothing.
It's a wash at that point. I mean, all you got to do is watch Billions and you can figure out how that works. But I mean, that's yeah, I mean, he broke down the crew. And yo, he stood on our principles of what the crew is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he legitimately stood up on what we were trying to tell people. Like, yo, this is a crew. And the people are like, word? Like, yes, Charles Oakley literally broke down how this is a crew. He talked about crew getaways. He talked about how the crew moves in the club. He talked about how the crew moves through restaurants. Like, you need to listen to the Bill Simmons podcast as soon as possible. And listen to Charles.
And match it up to our podcast.
Yes, and listen to, this is prophecy. We don't hang out with Charles Oakley. We don't hang out with Michael Jordan. But we out here and we know how the game worked, though. And that's what we're here for, because the scenarios.
And I would know how to hang out with Jordan after this, though. Like,
absolutely.
You know, Jordan, okay, boom, I got this, though. You post up and do what you got to do, though. I'm going to handle this.
Because the scenario's purpose here is to get you ready for real life situations. That's it.
Yeah.
We're
definitely listening to that, though. He talks about how he named up. Those have named off of probably 20 players, and he'd be like, I don't fuck with him.
Yeah, I mean, he gives a systematic breakdown of how he slapped Charles Barkley.
And how he probably, in theory, his tone felt like he may slap him again.
And he verifies all the stories that Bill Simmons can think of to bring to the table about him.
And he tells about his L's too, though.
Yeah.
But he's like, man, I got jumped like twice.
Mm-hmm.
In Vegas. Like, damn, like, yeah, I got fucked up with that and doing this and that. And like, and I guess he says he does a bully training or what are you saying? I'm like, he does bully a toughness training with people.
Yeah.
Like how Olajuwon does big man training. No, yeah. But he does bully training.
Yeah, yeah. Like he takes certain cats that have earned the right underneath his wing and shows them how to bust cats up.
I want to know if Draymond is a part of this though.
No, he said Draymond wouldn't. Like he said Draymond could come. I don't think Draymond's not that guy though.
No.
Like there are guys that are that guy in the league.
He talking about how KG was a fake thug. He's like that fake thug.
Well, I think everybody kind of knew KG was a yeller.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, Rasheed Wallace is the real deal.
Oh.
He said Ben Wallace was the real deal. Mm-hmm. Like he broke down some of the cats that's real.
He says him and Stephen Jackson had some runnings. We say I respect them, but I don't like them.
Yeah.
We had runnings, but I respect them.
He called somebody a girl. I'm gonna let people listen to the show.
Okay.
But listen, check out Bill Simmons' podcast.
He also said Sadell 3 was like a man.
Sadell 3 is a gangster.
Yeah, like they said he was like the mover and shaker and making shit pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, 80s NBA, man. Have you ever read Bill Simmons, the Book of Basketball?
No,
He breaks down a lot of this stuff.
Oh, he does. Yeah. I need to get that.
It's a good read. Get the revised one that came out about 8 years ago. It's good.
He breaks down some of this stuff, though.
Yeah, he talks about the cocaine 70s and everything. So, like, it's all in there.
Mention cocaine. Got to go back to Celeste. My brother says if you look at any restaurant, people in the reviews talking about how good a restaurant's bathrooms are, they like to do coke.
No.
He said that's part of the reason his restaurant is good is because the people that's got money to do coke love their bathrooms.
Well, hey, so sounds good. It looks like the type of place where you can do coke, though.
He said people are like, the bathrooms were immaculate. They like to do coke because nobody thinks about putting a comment in on a review about how good a bathroom is.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind, though, if you read the comments. They're like, well, I went to this place. The food was okay, but the bathrooms were immaculate.
Okay.
They were doing cocaine.
All right, man. So it's time to get to the news headline of the week.
Are we going Robin?
Well, we're going Trump.
Just Trump in general. And just
Robin's underneath the Trump umbrella.
Under the Trump umbrella. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Are we going to Jamie Foxx first?
No.
Jamie Foxx on the back end.
Well, you brought it up now.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying you want to make Trump on the...
I'm fine. I want to do this now.
Okay.
You know how when they say that people come together and there's a good conversation, it's like, hey, this guy it's a meeting of the minds.
Mm-hmm.
How many minds total were in this Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump meeting?
Well, they did a trailer, you know that, right, for Donald Trump walking in.
A trailer?
They did a movie trailer for Kim Jong-un before Trump came. Like a movie trailer.
Explain this.
Like they made
Who is they?
Trailer. The U.S. government did that.
Oh, God.
Trump people did like a trailer like... When two leaders come together, like it was some shit like that, man. You can Google it. Everybody can Google it and watch it.
Oh my God.
And it was a real thing. Like, they ain't like nobody spoofing it. Somebody did a trailer for basically them meeting together. But Kim Jong-un and fucking Donald Trump are the same people, though.
Yes.
They're just on two different sides of the globe.
Yes. Very fair.
Very childish.
What is that conversation about? Can you imagine it being a bigger dick measuring contest and them two sitting down just talking to each other? And why is it every time that somebody comes up to talk to somebody when they do that little publicity handshake, are they talking to each other when neither one of them speaks the other one's language?
Like they're just sitting there like, yeah, but nobody's speaking another
one. What are they talking about? Yeah, but I bet you he didn't speak it to him. Just to piss him off. You can look at him, he's not talking.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
no.
Trump's doing all the talking. Surprisingly.
Yeah, of course. But I just want to be like, hey, can you get those Russian bitches to pee on me too? I just wanted like somebody like on some player shit like that, you know. I'm taking a trip to Russia, can you hook me up with he's already cool with Putin now. He'd be like, Putin didn't do that for me when I came to visit.
You just gotta hit up Steven Seagal.
That's, you know what? That might be the where they leaned in. He's like, hey, you know Steven? Yeah, I know Steven too.
So, well, Steven Seagal's...
When you hung out with him, what happened with you? Like, what did y'all do when you hung out with Steven?
Well, Steven Seagal's a famous international diplomat like Kim Kardashian and Dennis Rodman.
Who would have ever known that this would happen? There's dead people right now literally rolling over their graves though with all this shit going on.
This is almost like, what's that game, Mad Libs? Like, where you just put people into a...
Different situation?
Yeah, you're just like... This basically what this year is. It's Mad Libs. It's like, pick a situation out.
And put a random person.
And just put a random person in it.
And how would they react?
Yeah. Yeah. President blank sits down with blank to discuss releasing a blank from prison.
Kim Kardashian. And you put Kim Kardashian in there. And Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And what would happen?
Black woman. Kim Kardashian, Donald Trump, black woman.
Well, we lost Omarosa.
Well, I'm just talking about getting people out of prison.
Yeah, and you got a black woman out of prison.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's the Mad Lib right there. President Blank sat down with Blank in order to discuss getting Blank out of prison.
You couldn't even make that shit up?
Yeah. You could remove those things in any other order, too, and it could be relevant. It could be President Black Woman spoke with Kim Kardashian about getting Donald Trump out of prison by this time next year.
Yo, Dennis Rodman with the MAGA hat, though, and doing he did two different little things. I didn't know he started talking like a wrestler. When did he start talking like a wrestler?
He's always sounded like that to me.
But I didn't feel like this was like extra wrestlery to me, like interview.
Well, he was cutting a promo.
Yeah, like, and he had all the NBA player, other ex-NBA players behind him, and then the one dude, I forgot his name, he's sitting behind him like, hey, this is a bitch, don't mean, God damn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out Kenny Anderson was like, fuck that shit, Kenny Anderson, I'm from Queens. I ain't coming to no shit like this. I'm gonna get that bread over here, though, now. Mm-hmm. But I ain't coming to that press conference, though.
You know I can use the money, but I ain't, you know, I'm not doing anything else.
Is that a part of my contract? No. It's just part of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may be like, you're going to lose $5,000. Kenny, like, that's cool. My ex-wife getting that money up off me anyway. Shout out to
Timmy. Is she still getting money from him?
Timmy Romaine is getting paid off him still, yeah.
How? How does he have any money left?
16, 17-year-old, though. That's still paper.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's, yeah. Yeah, she got 16, 17-year-old.
Kenny Anderson got paid since, like, 96.
She bought that card on the head, what is it, his money? And did license plate made his money?
You gotta take her out. Can we talk about Brian Colangelo real quick?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Speaking of this, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When do you have to keep your woman in line?
First of all,
when she costs you an NBA general manager job?
I think his wife was actually the one that was trying to bump for him.
I absolutely believe that there was some shenanigans involved there on his part because there were too many burner accounts. To recap this for everybody, so we don't introduce a topic that people don't know about, Brian Colangelo, who was the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, was fired this week when it found out that he had multiple burner Twitter accounts to discuss Philadelphia 76ers business in the public sphere and to basically vent through this. Listen. People, listen to me. Stop letting social media cost you things in real life. Stop it. Everything you think, everything you want to say does not have to see the light of day on social media. Because once it's out there, it is out there. Period. They literally hired a legal firm to track his social media activity and link these five accounts together out of thousands of accounts that are discussing this thing. They said these five accounts have the same general topical patterns. And they all ended up belonging to him or allegedly his wife.
I ain't put this on about this on him. Because number one, either you pillow talking too much about business going on at work, which we all do. You know, we all tell personal business to our wives or spouses or significant others. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give props to his wife because she was the G that took that was like, yo, I did it. Because I think those are all of his shits.
Well, let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say she did do it.
Mm-hmm.
And say she out here rapping and chatting. You got to know when to stop talking, though. Like, you're not the star in this situation. And you wilding out is going to cost the actual person that needs to be in the position, their position.
Well, my thing is that you've never had this situation before, though. But he comes from money, though, too. His daddy had paper, too, though.
Well, he's the biggest executive family in NBA history. Yeah,
but my thing is, like, you've never had a situation before, though, where your wife was doing that.
They old. They probably just got around the Twitter.
Oh, shit. You say they just got a Twitter account.
Yeah. Them Twitter names was sucked. It was like BC123456 7. That's really what it is.
He couldn't come up with a more creative.
That sucks. And he says, hey, I got on Twitter so I can read the news. And that's fine. I use my Twitter to read a lot too, as opposed to
write. A lot of people do.
But come on, man. You can't have five accounts out here doing the exact same thing.
And saying the same thing.
There's some treachery afoot in that situation.
You think he should have been fired?
Yeah, you can't keep a guy around after that. Yeah. But he's not. It ain't like he's going to be banished from the NBA. He'll be back.
You think he'll get another job?
Yeah.
They talking about bringing homeboy back, maybe.
Who?
The former GM.
Sam Hinkie? Should bring him back. This is damn...
These motherfuckers ought to be drafted.
Yeah, they should bring him back. He deserves it. Maybe this is just God's way of making a way. Brian Colangelo had to fall on the sword.
What if it's Brian Colangelo that made it, but somehow... I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be, but I'm saying it would be funny if he somehow was the one that leaked it. Hey, you know, homie.
Sam Hinkie got to put in the... Well, you know what? I listened to the podcast, though. The Ringer Basketball Podcast had the guy that wrote the article on there, and he said, I got it from an anonymous source that I don't even know who it is.
Sam Hinkie got an anonymous email.
I bet you it was Joel Embiid using a voice alterating his voice.
Yeah, I heard somebody talking shit about Joel.
Yeah.
Check these accounts, BCG45192.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his history. Click. Then call back 2 days later with another account.
This is Deep Throat. I was just calling and letting you know.
Deep Throat, that's another thing, a Deep Throat.
that's Watergate.
I know. They're like, you with the right account? Like, this is, yeah, did this happen before?
We're living in a world, man, where crazy things are happening for absolutely no reason.
Stay low, as this big Snoop Dogg said when he was on Death Tonight.
Speaking of staying low, Jamie Foxx apparently is a fan of the...
I'm telling you to get low.
Of the situation.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx allegedly slaps a woman's face with his penis, or dick. Back in 2002. Now, no one knows the details. She said that the Me Too movement, Time's Up, and Bill Cosby, all those different things, made her want to go out there and press charges, or at least put it on the record, so that if any other woman had any of the discretions with Jamie Foxx, that the record would show that she had something out there as well. Now, if she got slapped with the dick in her face, I'm 100% behind this fucked up, but I got some questions. Like, where was she positioned to have the dick slapped in her face? Was she just like sitting down? He came over and was like, "You want to suck my dick?" And they ran over and slapped her. Was she already down there? Got slapped? Was he like on top of the steps and she was walking up and his dick was out and then he like slapped her with his dick while she was kind of on like walking up the steps? Like, I have questions about, like, how...
Maybe it was a trapeze or something, and, like, he...
Like, how is dick get out to slap you in the face with his dick? I got a lot of questions with that.
Yeah, it's something I'm not quite sure about how that goes down myself. Like, how you work that out. How you play the game that raw.
Like... Man, I like...
If anybody out there has experience in dick slapping logistics, I would just like to know how that... goes. I mean, you can send it on a Reddit board or something, just direct us to it, and we're good for that. We don't need your email address, but
somebody's been dick slapped. And if you're a man, though, it's fine, though, too, though, man. That shit happens to them, too, though, within that community.
Mm-hmm. It does.
But this is my thing, and
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Whatever you're down with. My thing is, this is what us as men get for shitting on women for so long.
Literally, in some cases.
Yeah, like, because the fact that a dick slapping thing becomes a thing is the fact that we haven't acknowledged the shit we've done as men for so long that everything is open game though now.
Yeah.
Even though because you have to respect when women come forward with shit now. It's because we've done so much shit for so much longer as a species of men that you got to respect these allegations to a certain extent before you have to investigate it and be like, you know what, damn, all right, well, we got to follow up with this because shit been happening so fucking long.
Yeah, I mean, there's been crazy stuff happening. But, I mean, here's the thing. The gall that you have to slap somebody with your penis, like, that's even more... dangerous of a game to toss out there than when Peyton Manning teabagged that chick down at Tennessee.
Yeah. And like, my thing is, even with the teabagging, because teabagging is using your bag on your mouth. Mm-hmm. So, like, how does a teabag get in your mouth, like, even unwillingly? So, you're saying that's a part rape? Like, he held your hands down and put his sack in your mouth?
That's a lot of doing. That's like
a lot
that
of going on.
Yeah.
But... like, man, like, men have been so fucked up, we got to take all these into its consideration now.
Yeah.
Like, even the false allegations, we got to take all that shit into consideration now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got, you know what, shit's been so fucked up for so long, we got to survey this landscape. Yo, we got to investigate this now, Jamie. Even though it's past statute of limitations, though. I wonder. And also, did he grab his dick, hold his dick, and slap it with it, or did he swing with no hands?
That's the Balls Johnson dance.
What is the Balls Johnson?
That's when you swing your Johnson one way and you swing your balls the other.
Oh, because they be going a different direction because the wind circumference.
Yeah, it's like
the Balls Johnson.
That's the Balls
is
Johnson.
Is that in the Urban Dictionary?
I don't know.
Is that a name that you came up with, or is that a name?
No, I wish I would have created Balls Johnson dance, but I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing. There's a whole dance that goes with it.
The Balls Johnson. It's a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of this.
It's a thing.
You feel what I'm saying though? Like, did he swing it or did he hold it and like slap it with it, or did he like no hands?
Well, that second maneuver you just described takes a blessed brother to pull that off. But I mean, maybe Jamie Foxx is out here living life like that. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. You gotta cut that out. I wonder what it's gonna look like. There's no way to measure the percentages on this. Have cats really chilled out? You think cats are chilled out now?
I mean, I think 20%. Cats still like, fuck it, I'm gonna throw my dick against the crap table.
I don't like to just throw my dick anywhere. That's a dangerous game. Because you might not get it back if you throw it. You can't be treating your dick like Captain America's shield.
And things gonna boomerang back.
Or maybe more appropriately, Thor's hammer. Because eventually, Thor threw that hammer at the wrong chick.
Captain America lost his shield.
Well, Thor threw that hammer at the wrong chick and she caught it and broke it. Make sure you don't run into your hell out here.
Yeah, your dick is... Wow, the Balls Johnson dance.
Balls Johnson dance, dog. It's out there.
When you walk around naked, your balls swing one way, you dance with the other way. Shout out, man.
I know some shit out here.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think about... I mean, that's another...
No, I don't think about the Balls Johnson dance.
No. I mean, like, they're asking you, though. Do you think dudes are really more like being conscious about how they're treating women on that scene like that?
Probably not.
Only dudes with money? Is it only dudes with money now that's like, fuck it?
Well, I mean, it's always only been dudes with money that have been able to pull off some of the stuff that these
guys
have
been doing. But I'm saying now are dudes with money now more concerned?
Yeah, maybe not, because at the end of the day, there's still going to be chicks that need to have to come up, just like there's going to be dudes that need to have to come up. Like, the whole thing that really didn't blow up on this thing as much as it could have blown up in the whole Me Too thing is that there's a whole lot of dudes out here who done a lot of stuff that ain't in their regular character to get ahead with, and that didn't really hit the fan like it could have, because that's a little piece of culture that people still ain't ready to all the way have out there.
And it's a piece of culture that you're not going to find out, because men have pride in their mind, pride, and they're not going to say shit about it.
Exactly. So, could get worse.
Oh.
Could get a lot worse.
Oh.
It could always get worse, but I don't think it's ever going to stop.
I just think
that the awareness is there now in a greater level. So I think cats...
I don't know, man. I can see people with money... Well, people with money also always going to think that I can always... Got paper to get the fuck up out of this.
Let's see what happens. We'll see how heavy they hit Harvey Weinstein with when he steps into that courtroom.
And they got Bill on. They got Bill going to jail. That was a wake up call.
Yeah, but Bill was straight up
dropping drugs.
Yeah,
you're saying more. That's a felony crime. You talking about when the misdemeanors
when the Remy hit the system
joints, where some of you just grab somebody ass in the club type thing.
Yeah.
And Cass got a cut a check for $100,000 for that.
Exactly. That's going Cass going, as opposed to being in the club dropping pills and chicks drinks.
That's a whole different thing. You're saying because you're being like...
That's sexual assault.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a felony.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So, yeah, I think I still think that's a slightly different ball game than what we've been looking at otherwise. All right, man, do we want to get to our social awareness corner of the evening?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, man, so I noticed this maybe about 6 months ago that a certain type of wine was popping up a lot more than I remembered it popping up.
Champagne.
Well, it's that too, but it's a wine.
Yeah, it's wine
too.
First, yeah.
It's a wine too. So I'm not talking about that rosé. I'm talking about a different one.
The wine rosé.
Yes. So I started noticing that, man, rosé wine was like pink wine, is that the grapefruit-based with grapes in it, wine is what rosé really is, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was popping up everywhere. And I was like, damn, rosé must be on right now. But that was only the tip of the iceberg. When I was on my cruise, they had a rosé slush. And I said, it was called Froze.
Froze?
It was fucking delicious, too. I had three of them with breakfast.
Damn!
I mean, it was all-inclusive cruise.
Right, I imagine.
But, you know, but it was popping up everywhere. And I was like, man, hold up. It's kind of like when you're watching the news and you see the storm front coming across the state. And you're like, damn, I probably got about a good hour before this is going to be
hitting. Let me go and get the store real quick.
Well, right now, that storm is about 10 minutes away right now as the summer is ready to set in. And this is a public service announcement for the week. I must plead with everybody right now. Please do not turn rosé into Moscato. It's been 10 years since the Moscato epidemic ravished the black community. And it was happening... It was happening at a rate at a time that we couldn't even get ahead of it before it took us under. Next thing you knew, people was drinking Moscato with hot wings. And you like, what the hell is going on out here? It's a dessert wine. But we was drinking it, eating it with hot wings. What you got? Some spaghetti and Moscato. And you like, what the fuck you mean?
And then fucking, what is it? The wine company that everybody's getting with the Moscato joint?
That big old yellow bottle.
Exactly. No, exactly. Sunrise or
something? I don't remember.
You know, everybody listening knows what the fuck we talking about too, though. It's that big yellow bottle, and it's like the joint with Moscato, and every woman was like, yo, bring some Moscato.
Something happened. But then, something else happened. Eventually, too many people started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it became something for people to hate on. But then the hate stopped being hate, and it became legitimate complaint. And then, right after that, it hit the hood. And when it hit the hood, then it got basic. And now...
the price of Moscato is plummeted.
And now, you can't get Moscato stock.
No. Can you even get Moscato at a nice restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, you can. Because in that community, it never got bastardized that way.
It skipped.
What had happened was Moscato is the son of Tommy Hilfiger. Because Tommy Hilfiger blew up and the same thing happened. All the while, shit, Tommy didn't want that for us, but he was taking them checks. Mm-hmm. Just like the cat putting them sweet ass grapes together. Was like, shit, Moscato on. Let's put 10 pounds of sugar into this white wine and sell it to their ass.
But it's sweet.
Guys.
Because it's sweet.
Guys, I gotta plead. Please, y'all. Let's not do this to ourselves again. Let's not be here in 2028 being like, man, you remember when everybody was drinking that pink ass wine back in 2018? That rosé?
But it's Ricky Rosé, aka Rick Ross, helped this though. He changed his name to Ricky Rosé. When you drinking that burlur, you know rosé, you know when you drinking like a boss. So dudes start drinking. Women was already drinking because it's pink. And then dudes like, man, I'm going to be a boss like Rick Ross. I mean, it's Ricky Rosé.
Listen, man.
It's not a problem. Bel Air is his bottle.
Pink wine is a dangerous game to go down.
Pink wine and pink champagne. First of all, don't drink champagne if you're drinking anything else, though. That's when I know I'm having a bad night, or I'm going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching. Going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching. Going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching. Going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching. Going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching. Going to be a bad night if I'm already drinking alcohol, and then I'm switching.